Welcome back to our NLC weekly podcast, where we are encouraged from the word of God that's preached in our services every Sunday morning. Here is this week's message.
Are you ready for the word of God? Let's go. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 and verse 14. Let's read it. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Well, I think we all know FIFA World Cup 2026 has kicked off and is going on strong. Even today, I'm sure that many of you here have had opportunities to watch some matches, maybe even a match or at least some matches, and people are watching, I know, with family, friends, neighbors, others with their workmates, and especially with those people who support different teams so that they can compete to see who has the word of the Lord. You know, everybody's praying for the World Cup, for their team, true or false, especially when penalties are being taken, true or false, right? But guess what? I don't know who you're praying for, but can I advise you? Can I advise you? God doesn't play games. So stop trying to bring God into this thing. Anyway, times have changed, and as we look here in Nairobi, Kenya, ladies are into football nowadays. Siwaski Madada, where are you? Big time. You guys are in, man. You're in this thing. By the way, which team are you supporting? Just shout your name like you're not afraid. Like you're not afraid they will lose. Some of you are saying Ghana, they've already gone. Well, okay, anyway, okay. God help our African teams. Buona sifiwe sana. Anyway, I want to tell you a story. I read it just a few days ago. And there was a couple, husband and wife, and they were watching the World Cup, one of the matches. And the wife asked the husband, Bona man knew how I chase you World Cup. Duh. The husband says, I wish I was uninformed on some issues. And then he continues to say, Mimi hapa na shindwa, mbona Harambee Stars hawajacheza game hata moja. So you know who you're... Listen, by the way, you guys haven't asked me who I'm supporting. Ask me and I'll answer you. Of course, Harambee Stars. What did you expect? Enjoy your World Cup. Philippians chapter 3 verse 14 begins with these words. I press on toward the goal. Everybody shout, goal. See, the World Cup is all about? I press on toward the goal to win the prize. To win the prize. What is that prize to us? We know them, they'll get at the end of the matches, they'll get a cup. Which is, that's why it's called the World Cup. There's a cup at the end of the battle of all these teams in all these countries. But what about us? How does it apply to us today? According to James chapter 1 verse 12, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. Steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, okay, he will receive the crown of life. Everybody say, crown of life. That's our cup. The crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Who love him. That's a test. Who love him. The prize is a crown of life. The title of my message today is staying fixed on the goal to win it all. Come on, to win it all. Staying fixed on the goal to win it all. How many of you are interested in winning in life? Or in any area of your life? Or in every area of your life? Surely it should be in every area of your life. Everybody wants to win. That's why even a draw in the World Cup is not good enough. In some other lower games, maybe. But in the World Cup, a draw is not good enough. You have to go into extra time. And if nobody scores, then you go into penalties. Everybody say penalties. This is where some people or some teams are punished because they didn't score when they should have. And I want you to know, we as a church, we as the people of God, we are also in a battle. We better be scoring. Because if we do not score the kind of goals we need to score, we too will be punished. You know, nobody wants a draw. We all want to win. Amen? We too can win the heavenly cup, which is a crown, because Jesus paid the price by giving his life and scoring the greatest goal ever. Let me hear you. Is that all you can do for Jesus? I said he scored the greatest goal ever. Come on, Nairobi Lighthouse Church. I'm going to say it again. Jesus scored the greatest goal ever. Ever. Listen, he pressed on towards his goal and he won it majestically. Let me prove it to you. In Luke chapter 13, verse 32 to 33, before I read it, in verse 31, the Pharisees came to Jesus and they told Jesus, "Hey, Herod is looking for you to kill you." They were in the place called Perea, and he was on his way to Jerusalem. He says, "You better get out of here, get out of Perea, otherwise Herod will kill you." What did Jesus answer in verse 32 and verse 33? He replied, "Go tell that fox," tell your neighbor, "go tell that fox." I love the words of Jesus. I just love the way Jesus, you challenge him, man, you're going to get it. "I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day, I will reach my goal." Come on now, this is the King of Kings. He's telling us about his goal. Do you have a goal? Jesus had a goal. What was that goal? He said, "I will reach it." He even knew how he's going to reach it. He knew when he's going to reach it. In any case, he said, this is him adding, "In any case, I must press on today." We just read from Paul's account. Paul is saying, I have to do what? To reach my goal, to win the prize. Therefore, I press on. Now, Jesus is saying the same thing. He talks about his goal. And then he says, "I press on today and tomorrow and next day. For surely no prophet can die outside of Jerusalem." He is ready to fulfill the word of God. It's time. In its time. Satan had attacked Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And Jesus defeated him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Just like the prophecy in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the second part of it, it says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, the seed of the woman, and between your offspring and hers, and he will crush your head and you will bruise his heel." We just sang about that. We sang about it. I don't know whether you caught it. You know, you will bruise the heel, but the heel that Satan bruised of Jesus crushed what? The head of the serpent. Come on now. Don't think you can just handle God any way you want to handle God. Hallelujah. So anyway, let's move on. Because of the great victory that Christ accomplished, you and I can live a victorious life with Christ and inherit a crown someday. It's coming. You and I must therefore follow his footsteps. What are those footsteps? He said it. "I press on toward the goal," capital G-O-A-L. "To win," capital W-I-N. "The prize," capital P-R-I-Z-E. Listen to this. I want to give you the first goal. Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. Matthew 25, verse 21. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful." Everybody say faithful. "In a few things, but I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Come and share in your master's joy. This is what he's been waiting for, to give you the crown, to fulfill your joy in spite of all that you've had to go through to get here. This is what he's been waiting for. Goal number one, the goal of faithfulness. The goal of faithfulness. There was no goodness in us, when you think about it, until Jesus came into our hearts, into our lives, as we surrendered our lives to Him. And He gave us His nature, His divine nature, His DNA, His character. Every child gets their DNA from their father. He gave it to us, and His Spirit and His power, so that we could become the sons and daughters of God, the children of God. Faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit. You know that. Galatians 5, 22, 23 is a fruit of the Spirit. It's the character of God. It's an attribute of God. It's a character of God. In fact, in Deuteronomy 7, verse 9, it says, "Know ye," this is Moses speaking to the children of Israel, "know ye therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God." Everybody say, faithful God. You can count on Him. Come on now. "Keeping His covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love Him and keep His commandments." Psalms, the psalmist says in Psalms 89 verse 8b, the second part of that psalm, it says, "Your faithfulness surrounds you as an intrinsic and changeable part of your very being." You cannot separate God from Himself. You cannot separate faithfulness from God. Faithfulness is a part of God. Faithfulness is who He is, not what He does. Who He is. Amen? So just give you some four things about faithfulness to define this word for you in more clear terms. What is faithfulness? Faithfulness, number one, is loyalty. Faithfulness is loyalty. True faithfulness requires a dedicated allegiance. I mean, you're completely surrendered to this thing. A faithful individual stands by their commitments. Three things. They stand by their commitments. If you're faithful, you will stand by your commitments. You will stand by your relationships and principles. Even through difficult times. Faithfulness is tested in difficult times. More than when things are easy. It means offering ongoing support. And remaining devoted without wavering. Notice David Daniel. I'm giving an example for each of these. Daniel 6:10, you know, it says, "Now when Daniel learned that the decree, that is, whoever does not bow, whatever was supposed to be done, you know, they will be, you know, they're going to be dealt with in Babylon during that time and season. When Daniel learned that the decree had been published. He went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before." I love those last words. Just as he had done before. Just like he did yesterday, he's doing it today. Whether things change or they do not change, he never changed. He stayed loyal and faithful to his God. "I will still call upon the name of my God." What's trying to shut your mouth that you can't pray, that you can't ask God to intervene, to get involved? Let me tell you, try the loyalty of Daniel. Ahimelech answered the king when he was questioned about why he let David go, giving him bread and a sword. He said, this is what he said, "Who of all your servants," in 1 Samuel 22, 14, "who of all your servants, O King Saul, is as loyal as David to you?" The second thing is reliability. When you talk about faithfulness, you're talking about loyalty. When you talk about faithfulness, you're talking about reliability. Being reliability, what are we talking about? Being faithful means being dependable. Can you be depended upon? Am I dependable? Can God depend on? Can God trust me? Can He depend on you? Supposing He calls you for a task, will you be reliable? Will you be dependable? A reliable person keeps their promises and follows through on obligations, ensures that others can count on them in both small tasks and major responsibilities. It's not just about your relationship, it's about your relationship with people. You know, we're talking about your relationships. We're talking about at home, a father, a mother, a child. Are you reliable? Are you dependable? Joshua 24 and verse 14. And the reason I thought about this one is because I remember Joshua and Caleb and what they did in Numbers 13. When everybody else was shying away, they could be trusted. They could be trusted to do what they needed to do. And listen to what he told the children of Israel later on at the end of the book of Joshua. In Joshua 24 verse 14, he says this. Now fear, he's telling Israel, fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. And then he continues to say in the next verse later on, he says, throw away the gods of your ancestors. Come on, be faithful. Rely on God. Don't rely on anything else. Don't rely on the past. Don't rely on the things you thought brought you out or brought you through sometimes. God is more than enough. Amen? Thirdly, steadfastness, which is consistency. Steadfastness. Steadfastness is the steady, unwavering adherence to your path of or promise. To your path. What path are you on right now? What are you believing God for? Rather than being swayed by emotions, changing circumstances, or outside pressure, a faithful person remains predictable, stable, and firmly resolved in their actions. Like Abraham, he did not change. He didn't change. But I like this one, the example of Paul. Paul, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Paul was steadfast even when looking death face to face while in jail. He could have died in jail. The way they were beaten, man, bleeding, could have even died in jail. But he was still praising God. He was still living it out with Silas. He was stoned several times. One time he was left for dead. It's believed the disciples surrounded him and resurrected him. Some scholars believe that. And he was shipwrecked three times at least. The last one was the worst, but he ended up with 276 men being a testimony of God's faithfulness. You see, he told in 1 Corinthians 15:58, this is what he said to the church in Corinth. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Everybody says, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Be unmovable, unshakable. Stand your ground. No matter what you face, some of you are facing difficult times. We all are facing some difficult times. Nations are facing difficult times. Churches are facing difficult times. It doesn't matter who you are, what you do. Businesses are facing difficult times. So what are you going to do? He's saying this to a church. He's saying, I know things are tough. I know things are difficult, but stand your ground. Stand firm in the faithfulness of God. Amen. God is faithful. And then fourthly, integrity. Integrity. Faithfulness is rooted in truth, in truthfulness and honesty. A faithful person lives and acts in alignment with their values, conducting themselves in an honorable, transparent manner, even when no one is watching. Integrity. Even when no one is watching, you look for keywords. Truthfully, honesty. Nobody watching. Whether in private or in public. Guess what? It says here in Genesis 5:24, Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then the next thing we hear, he was no more. God took him away. That's what he wants to do. He wants us to walk faithfully with him. One day he'll take us away. And we will be with him. Doesn't just say he died. He didn't die. You see, a Christian, when you die, you really haven't died. You slept. Because you're awake on the other side. Amen. Job 2 verse 3, listen to the testimony of God about the integrity of this man. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. Not in Kawangware. Not in Runda. There is no one on earth like him. He's blameless and upright. A man who fears God and shuns evil. And he still maintains his integrity. Though you have incited me against him. To ruin him without any reason. Some of you are going through things you don't even understand why they are coming at you. Read the book of Job. Because you'll see what integrity is all about. He didn't even curse God. He couldn't afford to do it. You know, in Luke chapter 18 verse 80, Jesus saying this, you know, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find this kind of persistent faith in the earth? So what is Jesus going to come for? He's going to come for this one thing. He's returning. And he's going to be looking for one thing. Faithfulness. Amen. People full of faith and living it and practicing it, no matter the times in which they live, as difficult as the times may be. When we possess faithfulness, our light will shine brighter than ever, drawing those in darkness, the unsaved, to his saving grace. Secondly, and as I finish, Matthew chapter 7, verse 17 says, likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Homegrown, we are talking about fruitfulness. A father, training, discipline, teaching, doing all the things they have to do. What for? Because of the fruit. Some of the things you're doing now may not make a lot of sense, but think about the fruit that you're going to see in the end. Parents, think about the fruit. The goal of fruitfulness is our number two. The true outcome of healthy, of being healthy, is faithful living. It is fruitfulness. Fruitfulness, somebody said, is excess life. Fruit is excess life. It coming out. Faithfulness is a part of you, is who you are. Fruitfulness is what is coming out of who you are. In Christianity, fruit represents the outward manifestation of a healthy inward faith. Fruit is the direct, you see, the manifestation of a healthy inward faith. When you see a healthy tree and healthy fruit, you know there's some health under the ground. There's something good under the ground. Otherwise, that tree would never produce the kind of fruit it's producing. Fruit is a direct result of spiritual nourishment. We're talking about now the kind of fruit we need to give. Spiritual nourishment, symbolizing personal character, virtues, and the divine outcomes produced when an individual lives in alignment with spiritual principles. Spiritual principles. We're talking about personal character. And I just want to give you three small points here over this point right now. And there are three. The first one is this. If we are going to be fruitful, then the first thing we must do is that we must abide with God or in God. Amen? John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. God is always looking for fruit. Remember the fig tree? By the way, looks good, but no fruit. That's why he cast it. I can look good, but do I have any fruit? That's the main deal. What's the fruit of my life? Now I'm speaking to myself first before I speak to you. God is always looking for fruit. See, Joseph was faithful to his father, Jacob. He was faithful to the 11 brothers. He was faithful to Potiphar. He was faithful to the prison warden, where he had been jailed for 2 years, who even allowed him to faithfully take care of the prisons under his care, because he trusted in the faithfulness of Joseph. He was faithful to Pharaoh when Pharaoh called him and enlisted him to be the prince of Egypt. Most importantly, he was faithful to God, and God was with him wherever he went. Amen. What was the result of his faithfulness? I wish I had the time to show you the faithfulness of all these servants of God and see the fruit. All of them, there is fruit to mark their faithfulness that goes with their faithfulness. Listen to this. In Genesis 41, verse 57, and all the world came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph because the famine was severe everywhere. All the world, he was in Egypt. Egypt was a great nation, a superpower. But guess what? All the world, the rest of the world came to Egypt to get what? grain from who? From Joseph. Who was Joseph? He was a faithful servant of God who has a dream and a vision that one day they're going, the 11 stars will bow. And you know, all the sun and the moon, that all the brothers and the parents will bow, all of that. He had a dream. That dream was fulfilled in Egypt. The Bible says God gave Jesus, he's a type of Jesus, a name above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. That's why Jesus is also called the bread of life in John chapter 6. It says he's the, I think verse 35, he's the bread of life. He supplied bread to a hungry world, a dying world. Well, Joseph supplied bread those days. It was a type of what Jesus would do when he came to fight his own battle and finish his own goal. Amen. Reach his own goal and win the prize. Amen. Hallelujah. All the world came to him. Listen to Genesis 49 verse 22. Joseph's father Jacob had said this over him, prophesied, Joseph is a fruitful vine near a spring whose branches climb over a wall. Joseph was faithful and very fruitful. His two sons were called Manasseh and the other one was called Ephraim. I wonder if you know what Manasseh means. Manasseh means, he called his first son Manasseh because it means God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's house. He'd gone through so much trouble, so much. But he had to forget that before he could become fruitful. Because when he dealt with the trouble, the things that were negative, the things that had plagued his life, then God gave him another son called Ephraim. Ephraim means, in the Hebrew word and sense, twice fruitful. So our fruitfulness is hindered by Manasseh. Until we deal with Manasseh and get rid of the Manasseh, there is no real fruit that is going to come to our lives. The two sons. Listen, God is waiting for you and I to forget and not hold on to your past and my past. Don't hold on to your hurts and your pain. Don't hold on to your failures. Stop looking back at your weaknesses and holding unforgiveness, resentment, and every other thing that you don't need to be carrying, every other baggage you don't need to be carrying. Release. Everybody say, release. So that God can give you the double blessing. That's my prayer for somebody here today. Amen. Remember to write 2 Peter 1, 5. You can read up to verse 11. 2 Peter 1, 5. You can read up to verse 11. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For, now this is the reason why you have to add, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measures, you see, I press on towards. You've got to do more. You've got to give more. You've got to be willing to do more. If you possess these qualities in increasing measures, they will keep you from being ineffective. Everybody say ineffective. That's not you if you do what Paul is saying. Ineffective and unproductive, you see. We want to be productive. We will be productive if we do what God is saying. In your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That sounds to me like winning. Amen. I said it sounds like winning to me. But there are some conditions here. Let's just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, raise your hands right now. I want to thank you, Father. Lord, that you're dealing with me. You're dealing with us. There are two things, two goals that we need to score. Lord, help me score my goal. Jesus scored his goal. Paul scored his goals. Help me, it's our time now, it's my time now. Nairobi Lighthouse Church, it's your time now. Let's leave this thing, let's do this thing. How are we going to score this goal? Oh, come on, we've got to be loyal. God, I pray for loyalty. dedicated allegiance, God. I pray in the name of Jesus for true devotion in our lives. I pray that we will be found reliable, dependable, Lord Jesus. I pray, my God, that we will continue, Lord, to take care of every business that you want us to take care of, whether small or big. Stay steadfast, consistent, my God, in the name of Jesus. In the face of all challenges, God, even right now, I know there are people going through some difficult times, but I pray this word will strengthen them because you're looking for faithfulness. May we be found faithful in the midst of all these challenges, in the midst of all these troubles, even as a nation, as your people. Arise upon you. Arise on the goal to win the prize in the name of Jesus. Thank you for steadfastness and integrity, a truthful and honest heart and life like Job, oh God, manifested for us. God, may we be fruitful. May I be fruitful. God, you told your disciples before you left, reach the lost. You are with them so that they can be with the people, with the lost, and win the lost. Lord, may I fulfill that goal in my days, in my time, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Can you give Jesus an ovation of praise? Two goals in 2026. Just a reminder. The goal of what? Faithfulness. And the goal of fruitfulness. Say, I will be faithful. I will be fruitful. So help me, God. Come on. Stay fixed on the goal to win it all. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week and enjoy your World Cup.
Thank you for listening. If you're looking for a church community to be a part of or would like to learn more about following Jesus, we would love to hear from you. You can find us at NLC Official on social media or WhatsApp on 0720-652-652. Join us next week for another message. Until then, God bless you.